Welcome to Season 6 of the Fight Science Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Sullivan. In this series, we're continuing our journey of broadening our knowledge in the field of combat sports science by speaking to experts in the fields of nutrition science, psychology, strength and conditioning, and much more to help you become the best practitioner you can be. Today, our guest is Dean Phelps. Dean is a physiotherapist, strength and conditioning coach, and owner of Australia's premier clinic, Fighting Fit Physiotherapy on the Gold Coast. Dean has over 15 years experience working with fighters as well as competing himself. His clinic and gym is the go-to training and rehabilitation center for the Gold Coast top combat sport athletes, and there's a good reason why. Dean and his team utilize the latest technology to best inform individual training strategies designed specifically for each fighter's physiology. He puts a lot of emphasis on individualization and recovery, and the results he gets certainly proves that. In this episode, Dean and I will go over his approach to training his athletes, how strength and conditioning fits in the overall training routine, what technology he uses, why recovery is so important, and his advice for fighters who are looking to make strides in their performance. This is a great episode with a lot of great info, so let's get to it. All right, green light means we are live, so recording for another episode of the Fight Science Podcast. So we are coming back to home shores now. We're coming back to the Gold Coast. We're talking to a very good friend of mine, Mr. Dean Phelps, owner of Fighting Fit Physio on the Gold Coast in Nerang. Dean, thanks for coming on, mate.
No worries, mate. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course, mate. For the people at home listening, give us the quick elevator pitch, the 30-second elevator pitch of who you are and what you do.
So I am the founding owner of Fighting Fit Physio. My business effectively came out of fighting, hence the name. Early on in my own martial arts journey, kind of crossed over with my physio while I was at uni, and opportunity came to have my physio clinic within a fight gym. And then, so it's kind of followed fight sports ever since then. It's a part of what we do here. And obviously the connotation of Fighting Fit Physio works across the whole general population as well. So if someone's fighting fit, that analogy really helps them kind of push the limits and boundaries of their own physical performance, whether they're 13 or 93. So it's a great kind of thing from a business perspective, but yeah, we've got our love and passion of fighters in there as well.
Yeah, because you guys do work with everyone, eh? You guys have a real solid fight team, but you guys have all sorts of injuries and all sorts of people come through the doors, eh?
Yeah, definitely. So we're musculoskeletal based, effectively. But yeah, we love that side of things. And then fighters is a real passion of mine and has been ever since I started my own journey.
Yeah, and let's get into it, because I want to talk to you about the training specifically, because in my opinion, your strength conditioning program is the best, one of the best on the East Coast of Australia, by far the best on the Gold Coast. So you guys, the results that you get from the guys coming out of your gym is just absolutely bonkers. Can you talk to us a little bit about when you get a fighter coming in, what type of testing are you putting them through? What's the methodology look like? Say if I come into the gym and I go, hey, Dean, I want to run headfirst into this, what are you putting me through?
Yeah, so we've got a pretty solid testing protocol now. It's definitely developed a lot over the years, and 15-year history has been from shit through to getting pretty scientific now, which is great. So when a fighter comes in, obviously we're sitting down and really want to get in-depth in their goals, and then we want to fit the testing battery around them. But if I give you kind of a fairly brief rundown of it, it's they'll come in, they'll do VO2 max and RMR. We'll get an insight into their metabolism, both at rest and during exercise. Then we'll have a look at looking at the athletic profile. So looking at things, other tests like counter movement jump, isometric mid-thigh pull, doing some power profiling, utilizing gym wear, certain tests like a bench throw or a landmine throw. What else is in there? We'll also do strength testing, looking at using the gym wear with the predictive 1RM stuff, I don't really like pushing these guys to 1RM, but I like using the predictive stuff within the gym wear and the power profiling.
Can you just break down to the guys listening at home, like the VO2 max, what that is, what you're talking about when we're talking about the gym aware, what is some of this technology that you're using with these guys?
Yeah, sure. So we're pretty tech savvy here. We try and cover all the bases. Like I mentioned before with you, just off, it's not there to replace your coaching, and you're only as good as your plan and your program. But utilizing wearables and technology really gives us an insight into how they're performing. So if we look at the VO2 max or the metabolic cart that we use, it gives us an insight into their metabolism at rest and during exercise. So we've got a metabolic cart here, hook them up to that, and we'll get an idea of at rest what fuels they're using and also their calorie burn just at rest. So that gives us good insight, and obviously working with you helps a lot with that. And then we use the VO2 max to have a look at their exercise metabolism and their general fitness. So that's really important for us, and it gives us some insight, not just us, but the athlete too, and understanding their own physiology and how that works and how they need to fuel themselves to perform at their peak. It also gives them an idea of how much energy they're actually expending and what they need to put back into their body for their recovery. So it's a really good learning tool. And then we also utilize the Gym Aware. So Gym Aware is a big part of our actual training. So we use that a lot. It's pretty much all of our programs will have something to do with that. I love the Gym Aware because for fighters are classically overreaching, overtraining on a daily basis. They're pushing themselves to the limit and trying to do a lot of everything. And it gives us an understanding of their nervous system and how it's performing on the day and whether we can really get stuck into the weights room and lift some weights, or we need to auto-regulate all that session and deload them. So the Gym Aware, we can rather work to percentages of the 1RM, we can actually just use velocity instead. So on a Monday, they might come in and their nervous system's primed. We can throw some weight at them and they'll move it quite fast. And then later in the week, they'll come in and they'll be tired from a whole week of training and they won't be able to move the same amount of weight. So what we do is we can drop that weight but work at the same velocity and really push that athlete to get the same gains out of that session. So fantastic tool for that. We also utilize it to look at their power profile when they come in. So we test them, have a look at the predictive 1RM, for example, rather than doing a maximal lift. Because a lot of these guys, they aren't really well trained in the gym. They've done a little bit of lifting, but they can't tolerate the big heavy loads. So we kind of use that function within that to help give us an idea of how strong they are or how weak they are, whether they're fast, more a power athlete, or they're more explosive. So it gives us a good insight with that. Then we also utilize Forstex from Valve Performance. So that's a great piece of equipment. So they're just force plates. We look at a counter movement jump, isometric mid-thigh pull, squat jump. And there's a whole bunch of other tests we can do. Like a lot of these guys also have injuries and things. So we can tailor our testing protocol around that. And then other tech that we also use, like use an Aura Ring as well, another good tool for the guys to get an insight on how they're recovering. And realistically, your training is only as good as your recovery. So a lot of these guys don't really understand the balance between the two and that they actually get sometimes more out of their training from less and their ability to recover both through fueling, rest, settling the mind, all those kind of things. So it gives us really good insight into how they perform physically, how they recover, and also how they sleep. So,
Yeah, that's a cool point that you made there too, that it just helps with the athlete's understanding. It's almost like a learning tool, because you and I both know very well that athletes, especially combat sport athletes, are almost always too tough for their own good. And it's just always more, 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 whether it's them cutting weight, whether it's their skills training, whether it's straight training, it's always more, 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 more. And it is, it's almost like using this technology. Well, do you find using this technology is almost a way that you can get that message across, where it's like, you know what, you don't have to cook yourself every single session and look at these numbers. How do you find the athletes going to respond to this type of technology when you start showing them the numbers in real time?
Yeah, really good. Like, it takes a few months for them to really get their head around it and change their thinking, because they've been in this environment, like you say all the time, the bro science in the sport, and they have this internal battle for a while, like, oh, I've been told this for ages and now you're telling me this, and then the data's showing me this, what the fuck? And they just have this huge brain explosion. And then once they kind of settle into it and trust the process, they can see how their physiology is working for them or against them. And also too, the, how their mind's working for or against them in regards to their training. So yeah, after a couple of months, they're all for, and then just the feedback that they get instantaneously is great. And then, yeah, they make some pretty good choices in and around their training after that.
Yeah, speaking of their training, how do you go about integrating all of this other training in with their skill training, in with their recovery? How do you go about periodizing all of this together?
Yeah, so I'm much like you in the sense of having a 52-week training program or camp, so to speak, but that camp or that year needs to be broken down into blocks. Like most other sports will use a periodization model and have off season, a pre season, an in season, and then all that kind of stuff, deloading, tapering, all those kind of things. So we've really taken that same approach with periodization into fighting, and understanding that fighters can't deal with the level of stress that they try to put themselves through 12 months of the year. It needs to really undulate across the year, and they need to be able to build that up towards their fight and really aim towards that peak performance come fight night. Rather than trying to perform at their peak all the time, is that they need to learn and grow in their off-season or out-of-camp phases and work on their weaknesses and improve on their strengths. And then also too, when it comes into camp, that we're working on the right stuff at the right time, and then they're able to recover and adapt to the training stimulus and not just cook themselves during the camp. So to me, periodizing that has been a challenge, and learning that over the years has been fantastic, and then adopting that same model across different fighters, because they're all different. They process things differently ahead, their physiology is different, the way they are as an athlete, how they're built, and then how they are as a fighter. You've got to really individualize that for each fighter that comes through the door. Yeah, that's how we do it.
I was going to say, and this next question is always hard to answer, because you're trying to give a generic answer for a very specific process. But what is the right stuff? You said they're giving them the right stuff during their fight camp. Is there ideal characteristics or physiological profiles in terms of explosiveness or speed or other physiological traits like that you're trying to hit during a fight camp? Is it during a fight camp we're trying to get faster, stronger, fitter, or is that all happening outside? Or what are the priorities once these guys lock in 8 weeks? Okay, Dina, I've got these 8 weeks to go. How are you prioritizing the different types of strength conditioning?
Yeah, so I guess eight weeks out, we want to focus on the most important stuff for that fighter. And realistically, we should have worked on their weaknesses out of camp. So whether that's that they're not strong enough to be able to, they're not strong enough to be powerful later on, and that power then results in injury in the camp. So we work on strength out of camp, and then we'll work on power into it. Or maybe that athlete is becoming weaker as the camp goes on, and we've got to have a strength component in there. It's very variable, because each athlete's slightly different. If we kind of went generic, that 8 weeks is important to condition the athlete. So we're really making sure that they're peaking at the right time, they're utilizing the right energy systems to perform, and we're tapping into that. So for us, most of the time, we're trying to make the strongest, fastest, most powerful athlete that's able to fight, and then they can do that over and over and over and over again for that whole 5 minutes, or less if it's other combat sports. So it's quite challenging in a sense to get that right, because you're dealing with so many different things, so many different energy systems, and trying to maximize that. But again, that comes down to your session plan, your periodization model, what phase you're in, all that kind of stuff. So that 8 weeks is really about conditioning your fighter for that fight and making sure they're in peak physical performance leading into that event.
yeah, for sure. And you're talking there about peaking the athlete and making sure they're coming into that fight at the top of their game. Do you break these training into blocks? Is that how you go about it? You break it into certain blocks to make sure that by the time we get to end of week eight, we are in fact peaking and we're not in the middle of another block or middle of another phase. How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, so that's really where our gym aware comes in, and also our testing protocol. So if we've got depending on the length of the block, it might be 2 weeks, it might be 4 weeks, could be three. Just depends on how long we've got. Some fighters will get a nice 8 week block, some 12, depending on how much time they have. But how do we peak them is really looking at them as a whole. So we'll utilize the testing protocols, we'll test them before the block and then after the block, and then make sure that it's working. We've designed that block for, so our protocol will suit that block. So if we're looking at a strength block, then we'll do some strength testing. If we're looking at a speed block, then we'll pick some speed stuff or power or whatever. But then over those blocks and leading up to peaking them, we're looking at their data on a day-to-day basis as well within the gym aware. So it's a fantastic thing because it gives it instantaneous feedback on how that athlete's performing. So if we're using velocity and a set weight, if the weight's staying the same and their velocity is increasing, we can assume that person's getting stronger. So we can use that. Their weight might stay the same across that block, but their velocity is looking to increase, so they're getting faster and faster. Or we may look at keeping the velocity fixed and then building up their weight for a given velocity. So depending on what we're trying to achieve at the end, we'll work across a continuum with velocity, for example, and then also with our velocity thresholds within that. So at the start of the camp, we might allow a greater velocity drop and more fatigue, but then as it's coming towards the end of the camp, we don't allow as much of a velocity drop because we don't want to induce as much fatigue in the athlete. We want them performing in the fight gym as much. We don't want to really wear them out in the weights room. We want them to be pretty fresh coming in with us, but then also send them back to the fight gym so they're fresh and they can perform doing what they need to do, and that's fight. So we utilize the gym wear and velocity thresholds and things like that to really make sure that athlete's peaking at the right time and going off. So
what are some of the signs to you that would stand out that an athlete isn't recovering properly or they're not coming into a session as fresh as they could be?
Yeah, so a lot of the time they'll come in. So say if we do like a conditioning session, and we're doing something on this salt bike, for example, probably the first thing we'll notice is one, their mental strength is down and their ability to hold that workload or that intensity just isn't there. And then we'll look at heart rate recovery after that block. of exercise, and usually it'll be delayed. So it'll just take ages for their heart rate to come back down to what it should. So we'll monitor that pretty closely. So heart rate recovery is one that we'll see. Generally, they'll just look fucked. So they'll come in and they just look like shit. And that's where you've got to use your coach's eye and just say, hey, you're looking no good. What's your recovery score like, or your readiness score today? What was your sleep like? And then get an idea of, did this athlete recover well from their session yesterday or the sessions in the previous days? And if it's no, then we regulate that session for them and tap into a recovery session so we're not just compounding that fatigue and exhaustion within the athlete.
What does one of those recovery sessions look like, Dean? Because you know that a lot of athletes will come in and, like we were saying earlier, they're almost too tough for their own good. So they're adamant that they've got to do something. And yeah, you can do a recovery session, but what does one of those recovery sessions look like?
Yep. So for most of the guys, if they come in and they're fatigued and we need to do something, we'll just utilize the data from the VO2 max and look at utilizing that blue zone. So they come in and they'll just sit on a bike and just recover utilizing their aerobic energy system. So what we know, a lot of these fighters are very sympathetically driven. So we can utilize that aerobic energy system to kind of pull in that parasympathetic effect, get them breathing, concentrating on that, and just really get that process happening for them. And also too, it helps ease their mind. They're doing something rather than doing nothing. And then by the end of it, they just feel heaps better. So we'll do an active recovery session like that. And then as part of that too, they may be doing some mobility, stretching, foam rolling, all that kind of stuff as well, just keeping it very low. If they're somewhat good to go, then we may just look at changing that weights day, for example, and just going at a different velocity than what we would, or a different weight. So just really depends on how they come in.
Can you break down for us the training zones? Can you tell us what they are, how you establish where they are for each athlete, and then why they're important to know?
Yeah, so with the VO2 max, that gives us our training zones. So there's a lot of, I guess, different ways, like Polar will do it different to Garmin. Some will have 5 zones, some will have 4, some will have 6. It can be broken down into many ones, but if we just keep it quite basic, you got your blue zone, where predominantly utilizing fat as fuel. And then you work into your green zone, more aerobic. You utilize fat and carbohydrate, and then into your orange there, which is above threshold. So once you hit that point, you've hit your anaerobic threshold and your lactate threshold. So then that's your orange zone, and then your peak zone's the last kind of red zone at the top end. So yeah, we look at all those zones from the VO2 max. The VO2 max will give us that information, and we can look at how fit they are, what energy system they're utilizing the most for that. It gives us good insight into someone who's predominantly aerobic dominant, and they'll have greater blue and green zone and less of an orange and red. That allows us then to then go, well, if this athlete's struggling at the top end when intensity's really high and they can't recover, so we can utilize that in their conditioning and say, okay, well, because these zones are quite small up here at the top, if you push that in your fight and you're sitting up here, you're just going to cook yourself and you're not going to be able to really work at that intensity for very long, and your recovery is going to be great. And they're the kind of guys that you just see gas out. And then they can't recover because they've been way up the top. So we can get an idea of basically how that athlete performs and where they're weak.
Is there like an ideal physiological profile when you're looking at, say, a VO2 max test? And like you said, there's a good aerobic base and then a good anaerobic foundation. Is there something that you're working towards training these guys that they show a certain physiological profile?
Not really. I think each one's slightly different. And you can really tap into that as well. So say if somebody comes in and they've got like a really big gas tank, for example, so their VO2 max is really, really high. And then you break down those zones and they've got a big blue, big green, and then a small orange and red. Yeah, they've got a big gas tank, but when you put them in a fight situation where it's very intense and the heart rate's really elevated, they may not be able to sustain that. So they can't actually use that aerobic zone that they've got, that base. So they're not conditioned to the top end of town, and we can show that with the VO2 max and then look at, okay, well, can we change these windows a little bit by changing your conditioning so that we bring it down a little bit more and you can sustain that anaerobic exercise for a longer period of time rather than getting there and then just tanking out and then taking ages to recover. But it also gives us insight into the athlete. If they know what their zones are like, they can tempo their intensity to stay within their zones and not bomb out or tank, so to speak. So yeah, there's some really good stuff. Like VO2 max is good for a general fitness, but you can also utilize it to educate the athlete around their conditioning, where they're strong, where they're weak, what we need to work on within each session or each block or whatever that is.
So you and I both know that athletes generally, especially combat sport athletes, will try to go balls to the wall every single session and kind of push that anaerobic threshold. How important is it that they do develop and have that aerobic base as well?
Yeah, it's super important that they have that there because that assists with their recovery. So if they're constantly pushing the top end of town, then they're not really sitting down the bottom and working on that aerobic energy metabolism as much, and then that'll affect their heart rate recovery and their general recovery after the session. So yeah, combat athletes really need to work across all the different energy systems all in one, like, to really prepare them best and make them most conditioned and get the most out of their training. So yeah, it's really working on all those energy systems, but focusing too on that aerobic energy metabolism so that they can rest, recover, bring their heart rate down between rounds. But also too, not like, one thing I hate with guys that come in is like, oh, I'm doing an hour run. And I'm like, okay, how often are you doing that? Oh, 4 or 5 times a week. How long have you been doing that for? Forever. I'm like, well, fuck, you're going to get good at running, but it's not necessarily going to translate over. Some of it will and assist with their recovery, but they're usually the guys that really don't focus much up here and their conditioning up the top end. And when they get to that really intense stuff, they tend to bomb out, even though they're running heaps. I'm like, yeah, you got good at running, but you're not really conditioned for the top end.
What type of exercises or activity would you recommend a combat sport athlete do if they are trying to build this aerobic base?
You can obviously use running. It's one part of it. Cycling, assault bike. It's really just looking at, if you're looking at working that aerobic base, it's just really looking at the time that you're in those bottom zones, really in the green zone and working on that. And if you take what runners do or triathletes and marathon runners, really they work about 80% of their time down in that and then 20% in the top end of town, and that really builds up their base. But doing that in camp, it's probably not going to be effective, but outside camp definitely helps with what you do in camp.
Yeah, so that was going to be my next question, is that if you are one of those athletes and you do identify and you go, yeah, you know what, man, my recovery kind of is a bit crappy and I don't have the best gas tank, it's probably not something that you want to be working on in camp. That's something where you utilize that 52-week mindset, and that's something you really work on outside of your camp time.
Yeah, definitely. And what a lot of fighters do, especially early on in their career, is they try and do everything in camp, and then out of camp they balloon or get fat or and they don't do anything. They might mosey into the gym and do a little bit of fight stuff, and then I'll go to the pub and have a beer and then party on, and that's out of camp. And then they get, oh, I've got a fight. Great. Well, I need to get fit. I need to get strong. I need to get fast. I need to get powerful. I need to be the best fighter in 6 weeks. And it's completely unrealistic. So, yeah, it's interesting, like, having worked with fighters for many years, and how they do it early in their career, and then as they tend to get more experience and understand their body more and how it works from a performance perspective, then they just grow as athletes, not just fighters.
Yeah, and what would be your top tips to guys, and say if they wanted to do that, they wanted to get away from just focusing and trying to jam-pack everything into a fight camp, but they might be sitting back just going, well, Dean, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do outside of these times. What would be your top tips guys can do right now to start getting better at their out-of-camp prep?
Yeah, so you really need to sit down and have a plan, and that's like that periodization model. And really, if you want to do it simplistically, just think about it like other sports, like off-season, all right? So that's pretty much your out-of-camp stuff. You want to work on your weaknesses there. So if you're not the strongest athlete, then start doing some strength training. If you don't have the best overall gas tank, then work on that. If you need to work on your aerobic base so that you help your recovery, and work on that outside of it, so that when you've got all that, as soon as you come into camp, then you can focus on being the best fighter and being the most conditioned fighter for your given sport.
Yeah, brilliant. All right, Dino, so that's basically everything I wanted to go over today. But if guys are listening in and they think, you know what, Dean knows what he's talking about, I need to get involved with him and I need to get involved with the team at Fighting Fit. How do they go about finding you? How do they go about booking in a session? Give us the plug.
Yeah, cool. So you can just jump on any of the socials, Fighting Fit Physio, send us a private message. Also, dean@fightingfitphysio.com.au is my email. So yeah, happy to kind of answer any questions or work with any combat athletes out there that want to get better and learn more about their body.
All right, Dean, very last thing before I let you go, what would be your biggest tips for combat athletes? Say that it's someone that's maybe starting or just, you know, early on in their career, and they, you know, listen to all of the podcasts like this, listen to people like yourself, and they go, yeah, okay, I want to get started. What are your biggest tips for them? The biggest low-hanging fruit that they'll get value for, biggest bang for their buck, what are your tips?
Oh, that's a good question. Really find the best coach for you, and stick with them for a period of time, because when you start working with someone, you won't get immediate benefits. It's really your strength and conditioning is very much like your martial arts, is that you grow over time, and that's as an athlete, but also as a coach, you've got to grow with that athlete, learn what works, learn what doesn't work. You need time to do that. And giving yourself time is the best thing in the sport. So don't expect it all at once, even though Instagram tells you it's possible. Really look at it in reality. That it is a time game. It's growth. When you're looking at performance and getting better as an athlete, it's much like getting better as a fighter. It takes many, many years to understand your body and get the most out of it, and what works for you, what doesn't work for you, and then working with that coach to do that.
Yeah, brilliant. Could not agree more. Give it time. Stop rushing everything. All good things take time, like everything in life. But Dino, thanks for coming on, mate. Always appreciate having a chat. Always so much good knowledge. But mate, no doubt we'll chat to you again soon.
Cool. Thank you.
And there it is, another episode of the Fight Science Podcast. Dean is a wealth of knowledge and experience when it comes to rehabilitation, strength, and conditioning, not just for combat athletes, but athletes from all walks of life. I've personally seen Dean take some very mediocre fighters and turn them into top-tier professionals. If you're on the Gold Coast, I highly encourage you seek out Dean and his team at Fighting Fit Physio. This podcast will be available through the podcast app, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and you'll also be able to download it from my website, www.thefightdietitian.com/podcast. If you enjoy listening to the podcast, then be sure to head to the podcast app to give us a rating and leave us a review. Thanks for listening in, and I'll see you guys for the next episode of the Fight Science Podcast.